спасибо. Она рана.
Continuing with Salah, the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, for the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. That last time we were on the third initial treatise, which begins the book before the main core of the book. And we had the ayah from Surah Al-Mujadilah, 58 Surah, ayah 22, which the author brought as a proof for what he mentioned before. So with regard to the ayah and its explanation, who can remember, is it possible, as Shaykh Fawzan points out, is it possible for a person who truly loves Allah to then love the unbelievers? Is that possible? And if it's possible, then in what sense is it possible? This is not possible, as the Shaykh said. This is not possible. Somebody who truly loves Allah, as he should love Allah, and loves the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not possible for him to have hope, to have love for the unbelievers, those who are the disbelievers. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that as for loving the disbelievers, that this is a negation of Iman, a negation of true faith. Either a total negation altogether, right from the very root of Iman, or a negation of its completion. Who can remember in what sense will it be a total negation of Iman? Loving the unbelievers, loving the disbelievers, how would it be a total negation of Iman? In what sense or with what conditions?
If you love them for the belief.
As Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, if you love them for the unbelief which they are upon, if you love them for what they are upon from unbelief, and you love their unbelief, and you aid and support them upon that basis, then that will be a total negation of the person's Iman. That person will not have Iman if he commits that. He supports their unbelief, loves their unbelief, loves them for their unbelief. That person will not be a believer at all. That will be a total negation of Iman, as the Shaykh mentioned. This is something which will take a person outside the fold of Islam. Who can remember the second aspect, that which is lesser than that? That which will be a negation of a person's, or a negation of the completeness of a person's Iman. In what sense would that be the case? On what case?
You don't love for the disbelief, but you love for, you know, other reasons.
Yeah.
Your mother, your parents, or maybe like some other people.
Yeah. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that would be the case if a person did not love them for their unbelief. He didn't aid and support them upon unbelief. He didn't support and aid their unbelief. But he just had love for their unbelievers for some worldly reason. For some worldly reason he had a love of an unbeliever. And that would be a negation of the completeness of the person's Iman, but not putting them outside the fold of Islam. It would be a sin, but not unbelief. There occurs in the ayah that we have, in the description of the believers, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِنْ Allah the Most High, the explanation of Allah the Most High will strengthen them, the believers, with a ruh from Him. Shaykh Fawzan brought an important discussion where he mentioned the word ruh occurs with four different meanings in the Qur'an. Who can remember the first of these meanings, or any one of these four meanings? The meaning of the word of some different ayahs, the word will mean different things, so it's important we know the different meanings, so we don't understand every single ayah with one meaning and thus fall into a mistake in understanding an ayah. Rather, it occurs in different ayahs with different meanings. Who can remember one of those four meanings?
The first one being ruh, which is life, spirit.
Yeah.
Ruh is the second.
Yeah, the first one being an-nafs, the same as an-nafs, in the spirit. That through which there is life. And the Shaykh mentioned, of course, the Shaykh mentioned evidence for these. Who can have the second meaning then? That's the first meaning. In some eyes, because we can bring up a nafs, the soul, the spirit, that which there is life because of. Who can remember the second meaning, or ruh, as it occurs in the Qur'an? Also, that being the third meaning, was that it occurs with the meaning of Jibreel alayhi salam, or Ruhul Ameen, the trustworthy spirit. Or Ruhul Qudus, he's referred to also as the pure spirit, but those referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. Can remember another meaning from those meanings?
Revelation.
No. It occurs with the meaning of al-wahi, revelation. No doubt it occurs, the word ruh occurs in some place in the Quran with the meaning of al-wahi, the revelation. The fourth one?
Strength.
No. The meaning of strength, quwwa. It occurs with the meaning of quwwa. Shaykh Razan explained that which is the out of those four is the meaning meant in this ayah from Surah Al-Mujadilah. Which one is meant here? That Allah the Most High? وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِنْهُمْ. Which one is meant here?
That's what, quwwa.
Yeah. What is meant here is, Allah means, the fourth one, Al-Quwwa. Allah aids them with strength from Him. Who can remember, Shaykh Fawzan explained the meaning of Jannah, obviously Paradise, Al-Jannah. What is the meaning of the word Jannah in the Arabic language?
Garden.
Yeah. No, the meaning of Jannah is a garden. Shaykh Fawzan used the other word for that, it's a meaning of bustan, the other Arabic word for a garden, a bustan. A bustan, and a garden in Arabic, can be called Jannah. Then he said, and there is a reason this is called Jannah, a linguistic meaning that a garden in Arabic is called Jannah. Who can remember that linguistic meaning? Why is it called Jannah? What's the root word of the word Jannah that gives the meaning of garden? What's it referred to?
A shelter by trees?
Yeah. No. Meaning that the garden is covered, sheltered from Jannah. It's much tamrun, means it's covered and sheltered by trees. From the root meaning to do with covering and being hidden. So a garden, a Jannah, is much tamrun bil ashjar. It's a place which is covered by trees. Intertwine, trees which intertwine and cover it and hide it. Shaykh Fawzan mentioned that the people of Jannah, they will have no fear of expulsion. They will have no fear that they will be thrown out of Jannah ever. And he mentioned the case, he said, contrary to the case of this world, where people can have a fear of being expelled from their homes. Even people who live in palaces, they can have a fear that they will be taken out of their homes by one of two things. He mentioned two things. What were the two things he mentioned? That they have, or always have, even if they live in palaces, the best of the largest and most spacious of homes in palaces, still they cannot feel safe from what? From two things he mentioned.
Fear of death.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that. Shaykh mentioned, even if they live in palaces, then they will still not feel safe and secure in those homes because they will have a fear of death. Of course, when death comes to them, they will be taken out of those palaces, they will have to leave. Or of an enemy overcoming them. Of an enemy overcoming them and expelling them from those homes. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned something else as well with regard to the fact that it is of course not permissible to have wala, love and alliance to the unbelievers. Does this mean that we have to therefore have a total cut-off from the unbelievers? Does it mean that we don't have a loving alliance for the unbelievers? Does it mean that we have to have total cut off from them and know them, and therefore no relation of any form with them? Is that the case or is it not the case? No, this is not the case. Rather, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that our hatred for the unbelievers, our hatred for disbelievers, it does not mean that we don't have any dealings from them and we cut off totally from them. And he mentioned eight examples where we can have dealings with the unbelievers. Who can remember something from his demons, but the darkness with the unbelievers.
Business and trade.
Yeah. He mentioned business and trade. It's possible to have business and trade demons with them.
Buy weapons from them.
Yeah, buying weapons or the like, that falls on the same thing, yeah. Business trading. Yeah.
Dawa.
Yeah, and actually first and foremost, that our hatred for them does not mean that we leave them to their unbelief and we leave them to it. That rather, it makes it essential upon us that we call them to Islam. We call them to the true way. That we give da'wah to them, call them to the worship of Allah alone. Yeah, and that does not prevent us, the Shaykh said, it doesn't prevent us having a temporary peace treaty or a truce with them. There's nothing wrong with that. One more, and I'll make it half.
It's to reward them if they do
anything good to us. Yeah. Shaykh mentioned, responding that they treat us in a fine manner, there's nothing to prevent us treating them in a fine manner in return. And then he also mentioned the remaining four. Were marrying their chaste women and eating their lawfully slaughtered meat. And he mentioned responding to their invitations for lawful food, and he mentioned treating disbelieving neighbours well. And he mentioned the case of treating parents or disbelievers, treating them well as well. So that they were the cases the Shaykh mentioned. Then to continue, then the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he continued on what occurs in this edition on page 69, on what occurs in the Egyptian edition. On page 53, that he continued, اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. Know, may Allah direct you to obedience to Him. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, his saying, اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ. Know, may Allah direct you. أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ, may Allah direct you, or may Allah guide you. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is as if it is the beginning of a third treatise. Because two treatises have preceded. The first treatise was the four matters which are comprised by Suratul Asr. And the second treatise was the three matters which have preceded. And the third treatise is this one. And a fourth treatise will follow, which is Thalathatul Usul, which is the three fundamental principles. After this third, that we are now into the third treatise, the third and last initial treatise, then we'll begin the main treatise of the book, the main topic of the book, the three fundamental principles. So this is the third initial treatise. And the Shaykh said, so his saying, he, rahimahullah, he, may Allah have mercy upon him, اِعْلَمْ, know. Then speech about its wording and an explanation of its meaning and what is meant by its being brought has proceeded. I mean, this has already occurred twice before in the book, اِعْلَمْ, know, have knowledge. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he's saying, أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ, may Allah direct you. He said, this is a dua, this is a supplication from the Shaykh, rahimahullah, for everyone who reads this treatise. seeking to understand it, seeking to act upon it. You know, the author, he's made dua for you. When he wrote this book, he made dua for you. Those centuries ago, he made dua for you when he was writing his book. The Shaykh said, for those who read this treatise, seeking to understand it, seeking to act upon it, that Allah should direct him. Allah should give him a rushd. That Allah should direct him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains what is meant by al-irshad. What is this direction, irshad? He defines it. It is al-hidayatu ila al-sawab wa al-tawfiqu lil-ilm al-nafi'i wal-amal al-salih. Irshad, direction, it means guidance to what is correct and to be granted beneficial knowledge and righteous action. And ar-rushd, right guidance, is the opposite of al-ghay, misguidance or error. And Shaykh gives examples, he gives two ayahs as examples for this from the Qur'an. He said, and he, the Most High, said, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 256, the ayah after ayah al-Kursi. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. With the explanation, true guidance has become clear from error. The ayah that begins, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. True guidance has become clear from error. Shaykh Al-Fawzan quotes the second ayah he mentions as evidence for this, for the meaning of rushd, right guidance, and the ghayb, misguidance. He said, and he, the Most High, said, وَإِنْ يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا وَإِنْ يَرَوْ سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 146, with the explanation, and if they see all the signs, they will not believe. If they see every sign, they will not believe in it. And if they see the way of right guidance, of rushd, they do not take it as the way which they follow. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and ar-rushd, right guidance, ar-rushd, is the religion of Islam. And al-ghayy, error or misguidance, literally, is the religion of Abu Jahl and his like. In these ayahs, what's referred to there, Ar-Rushd is the religion of Islam. And what's referred to as Ghay is the religion of Abu Jahl and his like. And Shaykh al-Fawzan joined these two parts. Well, he continued the phrase rather, he said, he's saying, أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. May Allah direct you to obedience to Him, to His Ta'ah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is a tremendous supplication. Since if Allah directs the Muslim to his Ta'ah, if Allah directs the Muslim to obedience to him, then he will indeed be fortunate and successful in this world and in the hereafter. And at Ta'ah, obedience, and Shaykh al-Fawzan here, he explains what is at-ta'ah, what is obedience in the Arabic language. وَانْتِثَارُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا نَحَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He said, and at-ta'ah, obedience, is complying with that which Allah has commanded and avoiding whatever Allah has forbidden. So, as he said, it is complying with whatever Allah has commanded and avoiding whatever Allah has forbidden. This is at-ta'ah. This is obedience. That he obeys Allah with regard to his commands, such that you do them, and with regard to his prohibitions, so that you avoid them. in compliance with the command of Allah, and seeking the face of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, hoping for His reward, and fearing His punishment. And this is Aqfar. So whoever is guided to and granted ta'ah, obedience to Allah, and is directed to ta'ah, to obedience to Allah, then he will be fortunate and successful in this world and in the hereafter. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he brings a heading here, الرسالة الثالثة الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم تعريف الحنيفية. The heading being the third treatise, in the third initial treatise for this book, the third treatise, الحنيفية, the straight and true religion, the religious way, ملة, followed by Ibrahim, the religious way followed by Ibrahim. He begins it by saying تعريف الحنيفية, the definition of الحنيفية. Then he brings the next line of the text, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله, إن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم, that الحنيفية, the straight and true religion, the religious way followed by Ibrahim. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, he's saying, إِنَّ الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ مِلَّةُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, he's saying that al-Hanifiyya, the religious way followed by Ibrahim, meaning that which is obligatory, that you should know and be aware of, is that al-Hanifiyya, is the religious way of Ibrahim. And then he goes on to explain what is meant by this word al-Hanifiyya, that was the way of Ibrahim. So he begins with the language meaning, he said, and al-Hanf, the root of this word, al-Hanf, in the language means al-Mayl, means inclination. This word al-Mayl, literally to swerve away, turn away, or incline away, to incline away, al-mayl, inclination. Then the Shaykh said, so the meaning of al-Hanifiyya is the religious way which turns away from shirk towards tawheed. That's the meaning of al-Hanifiyya, that was the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's taken from the Arabic language meaning of al-hanf, which means to incline away, to incline. As the Shaykh said, so the meaning of al-hanifiyya is the religious way which turns away from shirk towards tawheed. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was hanifan musliman. He was a hanif, a Muslim. Then Shaykh Fawzan again explains the meaning of Hanif. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a Hanif, he was a Muslim. The meaning of Hanif, he said, is meaning one who inclined away from shirk and turned away from it towards Tawheed and Al-Ikhlas, Billahi Azza wa Jal. One who inclined away from shirk and turned away from it, turning towards Tawheed and Al-Ikhlas, making his religion purely and sincerely for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And then Shaykh Fawzan quotes an ayah with regard to Ibrahim. He said, He the Most High said, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 120. The explanation, Ibrahim was an ummah, qanitan lillahi hanifan. These three attributes are mentioned, and the fourth, walam yakum min al-mushrikeen. So So it would mean that Ibrahim was an ummah, a leader of good, or a teacher of good. Ibrahim was an ummah, he was a teacher of good. And a leader followed upon guidance. So the Salaf and the Mufassirin explains with different ways amongst them, and at the top of the words they explain, it means ummah, a teacher of good. Or secondly, a leader followed upon guidance. So Ibrahim was a teacher of good, a leader followed upon guidance, obedient to Allah, Hanif. Upright upon the true religion of Islam, he was Hanif. And he was not from those who associate others with Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so al-Hanif was one of the attributes of Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the meaning that he turned away from shirk and inclined away from it totally in favor of Tawheed. Turning totally towards Tawheed and making worship with Ikhlas, making worship purely for Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Then he gives, Shaykh al-Fawzan gives a second ayah in that regard. He said, Allah the Most High said, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ عَنِبْتَغِ عَمِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Surah Al-Nahl, the same surah, 16th surah, ayah 123, three ayahs later. With the explanation, then we reveal to you, an address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we reveal to you that you should follow the religious way of Ibrahim, the Hanif, the one who has upon the true religion of Tawheed, turning away from shirk. And Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the third ayah. He said, and he, the one free of all imperfection, said, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 67. With the explanation, Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but rather he was a Hanif, a Muslim, and he was not from those who associated others with Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, these are the tremendous characteristics of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. From them is that he was Hanif, and that his religious way, his millah, his religious way was Al-Hanifiyya. And it is the religion which is khalisa lillahi azza wa jalla. It is the religion, the religious way, which is purely and sincerely for Allah the Mighty Majestic, which has no shirk in it. And Allah commanded His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should follow this religious way by his saying in the ayah which came just before the one we had, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ عَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 123. With the explanation, then we reveal to you, an address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we reveal to you that you should follow the religious way of Ibrahim, who was Hanif, and he was not from those who associated others with Allah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he's pointed out that the Prophet was commanded to be upon the religious way of Ibrahim. Then he said, and we have been commanded likewise, that we should follow the religious way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he gives the evidence. He, the Most High, said, "Huwajtabakum wa ma ja'ala alaykum fi al-din min haraj, millata abikum Ibrahim, huwa sammakum al-muslimin." Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, ayah 78. With the explanation, He, Allah, has chosen you for His religion, and He has not placed any unbearable difficulty upon you in the religion. So follow the religious way of your forefather Ibrahim. Allah it is who has named you the Muslims. So in other words, the Prophet ﷺ is commanded to follow the religious way of Ibrahim, and likewise we have been commanded to follow the religious way of Ibrahim. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and it was the religion of all of the messengers. It was not just the religious way of Ibrahim, it was the same religious way of all of the messengers. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan deals with the point, then why is it referred to as the religious way of all the messengers? Why is it referred to in particular as the religious way of Ibrahim? So the Shaykh said. However, because of the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is the most excellent one of the prophets after our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he encountered in the path of calling to Tawheed such torment and trials as were not encountered by anyone else. And he had patience upon that. And that's the reason that the true and straight religion is called the religious way of Ibrahim. For that reason. And then the Shaykh gives another reason, a second reason. And because he was the father of the prophets. Because the prophets who came after him, all of them were descendants of his. Alayhi salatu wassalam. So therefore, Al-Hanifiyya was the religious way of all of the prophets. And it is the call to Tawheed and the prohibition of shirk. Al-Hanifiyya is Al-Da'watu ila Tawheed wa Nahyu anish shirk. It is the call to Tawheed and the forbiddance of shirk. This was the religious way of all of the Rasul, all of the messengers. However, because Ibrahim took notable stances for this religious way, it was ascribed to him and for those who came after him. And the prophets, all of them who came, and the prophets, all of them after him, they were upon the religious way of Ibrahim. And it is the religion of Tawheed and Ikhlas. Religion of Tawheed, and making the religion pure and sincere for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then the Shaykh said, raising a question, what is this milah? What is this religious way which our Prophet ﷺ has been commanded to follow? That the Prophet, as we heard in the early ayah, in the first ayah, one of the ayahs the Shaykh mentioned, that the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to follow the milah, the religious way of Ibrahim. In the second ayah which he quoted, we as have likewise been commanded to follow this milah of Ibrahim. So the Shaykh raises the essential question, so what is this milah? What is this religious way which our Prophet ﷺ was commanded to follow and which we have been ordered to follow? What is it? It is obligatory upon us that we should be aware of it. Because the Muslim, it is obligatory that he should be aware of whatever Allah has made obligatory upon him, so that he can comply with it. And in order that he will not violate it. It is not sufficient to merely ascribe oneself to it without awareness. It's not enough that a person says that we've been commanded to follow the religious way of Ibrahim. So I follow the religious way of Ibrahim. Then someone raises the question, well, what is it? I don't know. It's not sufficient that you just say that you're following it without knowing what it is and being upon it. So Shaykh said, it is not sufficient to merely ascribe oneself to it without awareness. It is not sufficient to ascribe oneself to Islam when he does not know what it is. And he does not know what are the nawaqidul Islam. He does not know what are those things which nullify Islam. And what are the religious duties of Islam. And the rulings of Islam. And it is not sufficient to merely ascribe yourself to the religious way of Ibrahim. and you do not know what it is. And if you are asked about it, you say, La adri, I don't know. If someone said to you, which religious way do you follow? And you respond, I follow the religious way of Ibrahim. And he said, and what is the religious way of Ibrahim? And he said, I don't know. This will not be sufficient, this will not make any sense at all. So the Shaykh said, this is not permissible. It is obligatory that you are well aware of it, so that you can proceed upon it, upon clear insight, and so that you do not violate anything from it. Then comes the continuation of the text of the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he said, continuing, having already said, إِنَّ الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ مِلَّةُ إِبْرَاهِيمِ That al-Hanifiyyah, the religious way followed by Ibrahim, is أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ is that you worship Allah alone, making the religion purely and sincerely for Him. Shaykh Barzan said in explanation, he's saying, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ It is that you worship Allah alone, making the religion purely and sincerely for Him. Shaykh Barzan said, this is the millah, this is the religious way of Ibrahim, that you worship Allah مُخْلِصًا purely and sincerely, making the religion purely and sincerely for Him. That you combine two matters, al-ibadah wal-ikhlas, worship and making the worship purely for Allah. So whoever worships Allah but does not make the whole of the religion purely for Him, then his worship will be nothing at all. So whoever worships Allah and fasts and performs the Hajj, the pilgrimage, and prays, and performs Umrah, and gives in voluntary charity, and pays the zakat, and does a great number of acts of obedience. However, he does not do so with ikhlas. He does not do so making it all purely and sincerely for Allah, the Mighty Majestic, either because he does that for riya, for show, or for sum'ah, for repute, or because he mixed his deeds with something from shirk. These are the two reasons that a person, his worship will not be purely and sincerely for Allah, will not have ikhlas. Either because he's got riya and sum'ah in it, he did it to be seen by the people, he did it for show, or he did it to be heard of by the people, or he did it because he mixed some of his deeds with shirk. Shaykh said, such as, he mixed his deeds with something from shirk, such as making dua, calling upon other than Allah, and al-istighatha, calling for aid upon other than Allah, and al-dhabh lighayrillah, and slaughtering for other than Allah. Then this person will not be mukhlisan. This will not be mukhlisan. If a person does any of these things, then his worship will not be mukhlis. He will not be pure for Allah. He will not be mukhlis, one who is acting purely and sincerely for Allah in his worship. Rather, he will be a mushrik, a person upon shirk. And he will not be upon the religious way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Many of those who ascribe themselves to Islam today fall into a shirk al-akbar, into major shirk, into calling upon other than Allah, and worshipping the graves and the tombs, and sacrificing for them, and performing vows for them, and making tawaf around them, and seeking blessing from them, and calling for aid to the dead, and other than that. And they say that they are Muslims. Those people do not know the religious way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, which our which their Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. They do not know of it, or they know of it but then contradict it knowingly, and Allah's refuge is sought. And this is even worse. In those people from this ummah who commit acts of major shirk, either it will be one of two cases. They do not know at all, they do not know at all the religious way of Ibrahim, what it is, which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. They're totally unaware of it. Or even worse, they know of it, but they're contradicted. Then the Shaykh said, so the Milna, the religious way of Ibrahim, does not accept shirk in any form. And whoever mixes his actions with shirk, then he is not upon the religious way of Ibrahim, even if he ascribes himself to it and claims that he is a Muslim. So what is obligatory is that you should have awareness of the religious way of Ibrahim, and that you act upon it, and that you adhere to it by worshipping Allah, making the whole of the religion purely and sincerely for Him. That there is not in your worship anything from lesser shirk or greater shirk. This is the religious way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, al-Hanifiyya, which turns away from shirk totally and turns to Tawheed totally. That you worship Allah, making the religion purely and sincerely for Him. And that's where we'll leave the treatise till next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. And as any clarifications, you can catch me after, inshaAllah. Subhanallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you.